Eric, you got my
three cheers? You got my three cheers?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Opens Meeting Act is posted on the east wall. Tenants by observation, Jurgens Bauman, Dorn, Lytle, Byers, and Tiemann. He'll be gone all day. The consent agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held September 2nd, 2015. Approve all claims through September 16th, 2015 in the amount of $490,409.16. Accept claim number 150902.36 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $27,871.93 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve increase to miscellaneous petty cash account for a total of $55,000. Approve Beatrice Fire and Rescue, Pickerel Row Fire District, and Adams Rescue EMS extension agreements. Approve appointing Mike Braun, B-R-A-U-N, to the Blue Rivers Area Agency on Aging Governing Board for a year term ending July 2018. Approve Clerk of District Court Summary Fee Report and Register of Deeds Fee Report for the month of August 2015. Approve having Chairman sign letter from Auditor of Public Accounts acknowledging all documents were provided for audit and there is no known suspected fraud. And approve utility permit number 1031. John Shaler will trench a 12-inch wide and 5-foot deep across county road to place a field water drainage pipe under county gravel road. Pipe drains into creek east of the county road, located in the southwest fourth of Section 1, Township 1, North Range 6 East, Paddock Township. Need a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Jurgens. Any comments here or whatever?
The petty cash.
Yeah, the petty cash one.
I asked for an increase in that miscellaneous petty cash because that's what I used to pay out the health insurance there at the end of the year, and I don't have enough. And if we have that laser where we go up to $45,000, I need to at least have enough, like this last time.
We should consider renaming that something other than petty cash.
It has, you know,
I know you would like that, Dawn, but the rest
of us. But it's in miscellaneous general, so it's not in a particular, you know, budget. So I guess that's the one saving grace.
Petty cash, so you think about going out for drinks or donuts, not
pizza. But anyhow, it's primarily used for health insurance claims, court filings, things like that that are emergency.
We can play the court.
And those are claims that need to be paid right away that still will be through. The paperwork will come through the claims process.
We have to send the check within. Usually I have 2 days to get the check to them once they give me the total at the end of our year for insurance claims.
The only one I have is item six, the fire and rescue agreements. Is this anything where this would be the time for us to say we want some money for communications, something for, is that this agreement?
This is the agreement that we've had with them the last several years, and this is basically, it was due, it was up for renewal on July 1st, and this is basically just that we're not changing anything, we're keeping that for a year. As this year goes forward and as we have more visits with Chris Moore and as that evolves down there, then we will start holding meetings this winter with all of the squads and going over with them a little bit more, preparing them for their next year's budget, at least the county, one of our plans is to have them pay for their percent of that down there. But that's not in this agreement, no. That's something that we'll be working on this year, and this particularly this winter. I visited with Chris a time or two about it already, and we intend on, as he has time down there, and he's still working on a lot of things with the electrical, the lightning and all of those other things, we will start holding meetings, and he very much intends to help us with that and explain each of the individual squads, maybe what they're looking at and stuff like that. So that's a good point.
Matt? Oh, go ahead. Well, just to expound off of that is that I haven't had any feedback from Alan at Pickerel about the communications, so I'm
must be working.
Yeah, but I think that by having them at the table and having them, those squads have that financial ownership, it provides them some more acute insight into how that system functions so that they don't feel like they have to call four or five different people. They feel like they can call one person.
Is that the understanding Chris has, too, is they'll be calling him instead of calling Tim, who calls him, who calls Tim again and calls them? And
with Chris, that's very much the understanding. Now, there's some of them yet that are still calling Tim or somebody else because they just don't have that the number or that contact yet. But that is starting to fall more into place. But that's taking time, you know, that people are aware of what actually is the process or whatever. But Chris very much understands that and I know what the Pickerel thing. He knew who to call. They got him down there, and they worked on that right away. It was just, and he's been going out. The city down there bought him a computer, and with the right software in it now, he's going out and all the squads. And I don't know if they're all done yet. I know he did Adams. I know he's done Odell. Our pagers, he sits them on a little thing, and he can read on there how they're programmed, and he can adjust the programming so that it fits your band or whatever, which they're finding out a lot of these, and that was what part of Pickerel's was. Through the years, when they went to narrow banding and everything else, they're not that far out, but with narrow banding, they're far enough out they weren't getting all the pages. So what he's able to do with this software program, he said First Wireless or somebody would charge you $25 a pager to come down and do it, but the city bought the computer. They've got the program. I know he did all those up at Adams. There's no charge for stuff like that. So the benefit is Chris is very, very knowledgeable on a lot of that stuff.
Already seeing the benefit.
Seeing the benefits, yeah.
And I'm going to borrow Matt's soapbox. And this is something that for a long time I've had some heartache about, and I haven't felt we've been getting the service that we should have been getting. And now we got somebody that's capable and knowledgeable enough to know when we're not getting that service, and he's going to hold people's feet to the fire. And I think this is one instance where this should have been taken care of, and it hasn't been. And, you know, he was nice enough that he wouldn't point the finger at anybody, but this is something that should have been taken care of by somebody that's given a service, and it wasn't.
Right.
And I'm glad we have him on board, because I think he's going to be – I had a little side discussion with him after the meeting the other day, and he's going to hold these people's feet to the fire. And if they're not doing what they say they're doing and they're trying to charge us extra money for it, that's not going to happen anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm happy
very
to see have him on board.
In this area.
Yes, he
very,
is.
Very, very knowledgeable. And,
yes.
And they've also – some of the communication equipment and some of the I call it villages and towns and towers – he's going out and checking all that equipment, which basically preventive maintenance we haven't had done, because he's finding issues with some things and working at getting those resolved so that hopefully our communication will be a lot better than it has been. So.
And I'll take a half a step back here. I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I'm saying there's been some impropriety by any of our people that are doing service for us. Somehow this fell between the cracks. It's something that should have been taken care of, but somehow it wasn't. Whether it was whatever it was, it should have been and it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, Chris has had experience from both sides, working for, I think it was Pottawatomie County, and then also working for, wasn't First
Service
Wireless.
Provider.
Yeah, it was a service provider. So he's had the experience of both sides. So he's a little bit familiar with some of the workings, I guess, of those deals. So, no. Any more questions on consent agenda? Vote 6-0. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. And it don't look like we have any public here this morning again. So, that's it. Entertain a motion to approve or disapprove claim number the 150902 36 to RL Team and Construction in the amount of $27,871.93, and this is for county gravel that they hold.
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay.
Gary, motion by Lytle, seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote 5-0 with Thiemann abstaining. Committee reports. Building and grounds, winter lights.
Don't have anything really unusual. Dave is going on vacation starting tomorrow, so Rosie will be around and be in charge. And if she has any problems, she'll see the county attorney, I'm certain. So, anyway, you notice they are working on the corner over here, checking it, seeing if this is going to work and what it's going to do. So, I stop by about every day that...
You do, good.
Yeah.
Good.
So
we get to view them every day too, up and down.
Because they're right outside your window, yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like kind of neat scaffolding or whatever, kind of hydraulic or electric.
Well, if you notice, Don's when she's visiting with you lately, her head is going up and down like this a lot. Kind of a habit.
Yep. And I stopped and visited to him too. The I can't remember his name. He was right out there by his equipment. Yeah,
right.
Dennis. And he said, yeah, they're looking at 4 to 5 week project yet. So
keep working on it.
It's going pretty good. So. Then the other thing I did, Dave did stop me this morning and say that they did get the motor on the air conditioner unit at the jail over there fixed, because Gus reported that went out over the weekend and stuff. So that, as far as I know, that's fixed.
Though we do have a gentleman going around this morning from NERMA, kind of a appraiser, whatever, going through our property again for rates or seeing if we need to...
He's been out there since about 7:30 this morning. He's been out there.
Yeah, so he's
looking.
Here today. So
I just figured he wasn't a signature collector or something, because he
didn't talk. No more signatures. I got.
How does that make the assessor's office feel if the appraiser walks into their office?
I think it's probably more on our outside building.
Okay, the outside.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think that's
yes, it makes him feel really bad when he values them really.
Yeah, equalization.
Nothing.
Yep. Finance, insurance.
I was not there at the committee meeting, so.
Basically, we had some insurance. We spoke.
We'll have that later here.
That'll be later.
We called Amber. Yeah, okay. Because we have that on the agenda to prove disapprove that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I this would probably be the time to mention this. On the claims, I just wanted to go down through these figures. A sand and gravel, there was a payment of $50,184.84. Beatrice Concrete, that particular one was Township Hauling and Gravel. Beatrice Concrete Inc., Rock and Concrete, $9,547.52. Consolidated Sand and Gravel. Road Gravel again, $10,910.13. And Gain of Trucking and Excavating, Township Grabbing and Hauling, $4,319. Aside from the amount to Thiemann at below that came out of Road and Bridge Sinking for County Gravel of $27,871.93. And I guess the rest of it I'll talk about just a little bit during the road and bridge part of it, as far as where we're going with that gravel, supplies, everything like that.
Any expenditures out of the Pumpkin Memorial Fund?
Not yet. It's going to be a fine, maybe, but
there should be one more order of gravel too, or one more billing for county before it goes back to township too. That's completed now.
Right.
You finished the 60 roughly miles of county hauling.
Come on, you don't get those good fun things.
Human resources. John's not here, so not nothing. Law enforcement. Emergency management.
What's that damn rooster got?
I had the discussion about the air conditioner unit that went down, and as you reported, it's taken care of. Pretty short meeting. We did go out and view the new transport van, which looks like a pretty nice piece of equipment, and maybe have opportunities to turn it into a party van at night, maybe.
Or maybe you'd like to ride it out to Lexington for an overnight stay.
No. I don't think so.
No.
But no, it looks like a good piece of equipment. I think we'll be able to transport people safely on both ends for our employees and also for the people we're transporting. So I think it's a good piece of equipment that Gus has put in the fleet. On the emergency management side of things, Tim didn't have a whole lot, but did report that there was, he reported on the storm damage, which we're all pretty aware of from last week, and then also that he had looked at a couple of different funding possibilities for the Blue Springs Tower site, and he's was came up zero on both of them. So still looking for opportunities and monies out there for that job. But other than that, not a whole lot more
going
on.
Chris Moore was here too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And Chris
was here. And
Chris was here for the first time. I think he's going to try and be here at least once a month, just to communicate on what's going on with communications and fill us in on what he's finding. He did have a few things that they'd found as they were going through and doing some PM inspections, and I think he's got a few things he's going to be replacing. Thinks it might help out with some of the communications that we got through the county, and especially down the southern end. He's got a couple of power converters that he thinks might help out. So other than that, not a whole lot else.
And we tried to get Scott to sit in that van. We'd take a picture with him, but he won because I think he was concerned about someone closing the door on him. So.
Didn't happen.
Road and Bridge.
Just a second, Myron.
I just had a question. I was gone from committee meetings. I was far away. What's this on the traffic complaints for the Koch nitrogen plant? I was just reading through the stuff on this.
It was just the fact that they'd had more pressure or more law enforcement presence out there just because of some of the speeds that were being reported out there, some complaints.
Yep.
It was complaint-based. And it's, you know, you got, I don't know how many people they ended up having out there, but with that many more people, you're going to have some more things going on.
And are they about done out there now? Is that wrapping up?
I think it's starting to wind down from what I've heard.
I talked to Dave Creven from out there, and he was saying he thought that they were supposed to be ahead, but there'd be some hanger-oners. There might be 100 or so people left, but I think they're going to dwindle. But
the big crowds are almost done.
Taper, I think. Yeah.
Did you have any discussion? I had a couple of people call me relative to an issue that happened down in Wymore with one of our deputies and with an employee down there, and I didn't know if we'd had any conversation on that. Okay, maybe I'll bring that up in closed session.
Okay. No, we didn't have any on that. Road and Bridge.
Okay, Myron, first on the list. I have a huge pumpkin growing in my garden, and somehow over the weekend the vine got cut. Now, I know Don was in the Hanover area, and Gus is going to take fingerprints for me, and we'll see where that goes.
Mine rotted. What can I say? I need a replacement.
Okay, seriously. Permits. We had the one permit for the drainage tile. Today at 9:15, we'll open a bid for culverts. The culverts by the Swiss black top. Grading crew has been replacing silver culverts again throughout the county. Asphalt crew laid approximately 280 tons of asphalt from 9-1 through 9-11. Bridge crew has been working with bridge repairs as we go on. And Myron probably could give a...
We have it on the agenda here.
Okay, talk about that later. Hickory?
Yeah. We'll be discussing that some more.
Okay.
Yep.
I did have discussions with, kind of let everybody know where we're going or try to head with Ace Sand and Gravel, and his pumping is on and off again. I don't think we're going to get a supply of material we need probably that. So Galen and Becky have went down the list and have started on the second bid on there to see if we can't get some completions on some of these.
I might have some bad news there, too. The county, we were behind on gravel everywhere. There were huge stockpiles at Alexandria, and Powell's kind of day-to-day, you use up whatever's there. It seems we've used almost all of the gravel from Alex now also. All the old stockpiles, some of them I think were years old, are now gone. So,
and that's what Galen had mentioned this morning to me, too, that they'll head over there, and basically all the piles, I mean, it's hit and miss if you have any material to bring back. So, I mean, they make phone calls, and he made said, yeah, we've got some on the ground. By the time you get there, it could be gone. So it's kind of production as we go on these materials. So hopefully we'll keep producing, maybe try to get ahead. But with that being said, there's 13 townships done on the spring allocation is where we're sitting right now. And you saw a claim approved in the claim list of Gaina Trucking. That was one particular firm that was the second in line on the bids this spring.
For the one township, yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know, hopefully, if the ace pit can keep going, I mean, I think we're going to get along pretty good, but it's hit and miss. There's no guarantees. There's no nothing there either. So, but our full intention is to try and get this spring allocation wrapped up as soon as we can in here. If we have to go down to the second line, I mean, I realize supply is an issue too there now. I know that. So that's where we're setting with that stuff.
Do you remember, Gaina, we had a question about where Gaina got theirs from? Did they go to one of our... And not one of the pits we're using, or because in the bid we didn't see anything that it said where they got it from.
I believe that came out of Ashland.
That came out of Ashland. That one did.
There's another pit with good supply. It's another NEPCO pit. I think it's just north of Slane County. That might be something we have to look at next. Or you know, the suppliers have to look at bidding from other pits a little further away this time.
Mm-hmm.
So I know Slane County, a lot of that gravel came from the north instead of from the west.
Okay.
That's it except for Hickory Road, but we'll talk about that later.
Talk about that later. Okay.
Not quite 9:15 yet.
TP Road on here. Is Midland bidding that road out today, or... Are they putting a bid out for that road? Somebody called and asked about that, and I said, I don't know if that's accurate or not, but I said, that's not county. That would be Midland.
That would be township. I'm not aware of anything myself. I think they were going through the motions to see if there's another direction they could go.
Because I know Elm Township was bidding some stuff out. Midland had talked about it and got prices on it, but I had heard that there was some action possibly going to happen through Midland Township on that, which if we're going to go a different route on that or still thinking about potentially doing that, maybe
on Midland Township, and I know I went out and looked at that road that supposedly are they going to vacate it or aren't they, and I didn't make any commitments on anything. I said they'd have to come in, the township would have to come in and talk to us and make whatever requests they wanted to make, and then we as a board would make whatever decision we wanted to as far as vacating it. But I would presume everybody here got a call because...
Danny, I think that they have been in contact with Roger.
Yeah.
At least that's what I was told.
Larry and I just suggested if they're going to go that route, they need to, number one, retain an attorney. Obviously, Andy does a lot of the township work around. And I also said, you know, be in consult with Galen so they follow the protocol.
Yeah.
I just heard there's dirt contractors looking into bidding that, and it sounded like it was this week, maybe tomorrow, that they're going to be putting prices together. I haven't seen any specs or any requests, but...
I didn't hear that.
Have you gotten anything, Larry, for... It's a road over here east of town, west of town, a couple of miles. You haven't? Okay.
I got a question for Jamie.
I don't even know who the engineer... Oh, Matt. I don't even know. No, it's a township road that got damaged by the flood along the Blue River, really bad, and the railroad and stuff, so...
Railroad track.
Well, you got a different... Yeah, and the railroad track there, yeah, and stuff, so... I don't know. Galen, you haven't been contacted about anything either on the TV road, so haven't heard anything either.
I told him to get a hold of Galen and told him to get a hold of Roger.
Well, I know FEMA's been out and looked at that one, too, and everything, so I don't know, you know, with them through all this process, too. So I don't know what all, where it stands or whatever, so... But there's been, I know they're trying to do some things, but I don't know about the bidding or whatever. So,
yeah.
So, but that's up to them right now, I guess. So, Matt?
Galen, any feedback on that railroad right away? I talked to Marvin Kelly about that. I tried to call that gentleman. He won't return my call, but Marvin had talked to him. Have you heard any progress on that?
Yeah, I had a call last Friday.
Galen. Mike.
I did have a call last Friday, and it wasn't from Jason. It was from another individual. They wanted me to meet out there with them actually this afternoon. Well, Sunday they called me back, and they said they're going to reschedule that. He said the three large culverts they were planning on putting in there might be too big in diameter and not be able to get enough cover over the top of them. So they're going to go back over that, and he said as soon as he found something out, he'd get back with me. That's the only contact that I've had with them recently. So,
okay.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? Otherwise, we have a time event at 9:15. Need a motion to close all bids, close, accept, reject, or award bids for Claytonia Southwest Project. Section 18-19, Township 5 North, Range 5 East for Grant Township on the DeWitt Blacktop.
So move.
Second.
Motion by Juergens and second by Byers. Vote 6-0. So we do have some bids in. That was it. It was a three. It looked like three of them. Put three bids in.
Galen, did you pass out this blank sheet to everybody, that bid form?
No, I never.
Okay. On this actual bid form, before we open this, what there is, there's a proposal to replace this culvert. It's a 30-inch, 85-foot culvert going underneath the DeWitt East Road right there. And there's also an alternate bid for a 60-inch by 76-foot culvert replacement too. The reason that's like that is the drainage issue right there. The landlord complained to Galen that whenever we get water, that'll flood his property and the water will not recede very quickly and will damage a bunch of his corn crop out in there, and he can't get back into the field. So what I would like to do, I'll read these bids and see what the difference is. I'd like to have Galen and Becky review them and come back within a very short period of time, because it's time sensitive, because FEMA, the way I understand it, I'm just repeating Galen, FEMA will replace this culvert, but they won't go with a bigger size culvert. So are not replaced. They'll cost sharing on it. I'm sure we'll have to stand some of it. They'll replace the 30 just exactly the way it was, but they will not increase the size. So with that being said, the way I see it is the work is all the same. Replacing the bigger are basically all the same. The labor is going to be the same on either one. It's going to be the difference in the culvert size. And it's something I'd like to have Galen Becky review and then come back with a recommendation, because it's time sensitive, because this has to be into, well, you see.
Back into FEMA by the end of October.
Back into FEMA.
This is with the Federal Highway part.
Harry?
Is that something changing culvert size? Do we need a hydrologic study on that?
Galen,
this has been done with Manelli.
That has been done. This came back from Manelli's office.
That's where the 60-inch came in?
Yes, we come up for the 60-inch to increase that.
Matt, and just to refresh my memory, this was a culvert that was washed out secondary to the flood that's just on the west side of that, the bridge, that if we were to allow FEMA to run through this, they would probably close that road for a while and we'd lose some money or what. Help refresh my memory, which is why we jumped on this, because we were going to lose.
If it would have went through the FEMA program, it would have been the same as when we applied to build a big federal aid bridge. We'd had to go through the NEPA documents and the whole ball of wax, so it would have possibly got started sometime next year. But since this culvert is collapsed, we figured we better jump on it and get it fixed, because we really have no idea what could be underneath this road. There could be a sinkhole underneath the center of the road. It's got so much depth on it. That's why we figure we better get this thing fixed and get it done. Because once you start with those federal aid projects, it seems like that takes forever to get, so you can get them done.
One of the last big federal aid projects we had was a Barnston Bridge. And how long did that take to sit there?
Several years from start to finish.
And that's a main thoroughfare for truck traffic that goes up north and cuts over on Cedar Road.
Okay.
Oh, Gary's got one more. Yep.
So we're sure that if we go with the 60-inch, FEMA will cost share still, even though we're changing the...
Yes, the gentleman that I worked with, he said they'll pay, on this project here, they'll pay 100% of the cost up on the 30-inch pipe. But if we go with the larger pipe, they'll just pay X amount of dollars for the 30-inch. The price above that difference would be the county share.
Counties.
Perfect.
Okay. Okay, Myron. The first bid is from Gaina Trucking Excavating. They break it down, but all to speed things up, I'll give on the 30-incher total for the project, $34,051.90. For the 60-inch culvert, total for the project, $52,896.72. Again, that was Gaina Trucking Excavating. Second one is from JJK Construction, LLC. Total for the first project, the 30-inch culvert, $20,140.11. For the second one, the 60-inch alternative, $30,134.92.
Would you repeat those one more time, quick?
Matt?
The 30-inch is $20,140.11, and the 60-inch tube is $30,134.92.
Okay, the third, is this the final one, Matt? Were there three?
Yeah, that just hit three, yep.
The third is from BAB Incorporated. The 30-inch culvert, total for the project, $35,915.40. The alternative 60-inch, $55,708.80.
And now we'd like to refer this to Galen and
yes,
Becky.
Yes, okay. I would like to refer these to Galen and Becky, whatever time it takes, but before the meeting is ended, to accept whatever bid they...
And to make sure they meet specs, because that I'm not saying that isn't right, but the one bid there seems considerably cheaper than the other two, and just to make sure they meet the specifications on the bid.
Yes.
Galen, are you familiar with the J&J Construction?
No, I'm not. But I will go over these bids, and Mark Manelli couldn't be here today, so when I go over, I will... call and run this by him on the telephone.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Art.
Yeah.
Any more questions or comments on those, or otherwise we'll wait for Galen and them to come back on that.
So, right.
To approve or disapprove one of those.
Right. You know, we can move on. We don't, I mean, as soon as you come back with our recommendation, then act on it.
So we'll just delay a few minutes to have a decision on that. Approve or disapprove the revised budget of the community-based grant and having the chairman sign this. Oh. Good morning. Would you like to talk a little bit about
the motion?
Sure.
Yeah, we need a motion to approve this.
Move to approve.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, seconded by Byers. Christina, go ahead.
The county aid, or community-based, is now what it's called, I believe. And you'll remember back in January, I submitted a grant. We were approved for the $55,108, which I think if you all have your sheets that I got you, that goes to pay for juvenile diversion prevention consultant contract, and then our student staff advocate program that we work with truancy in the high school, or in middle school and high school. And so that was our base grant. Well, after the legislative session, they gave us more money, which hardly ever happens. So we needed to figure out how to spend it. They gave us $16,506, and I'm not sure how they based that on. Everett County was a little different. What I am proposing that we spend it on is for first $5,000 for the pre-adjudicated detention options. This would be for our probation intake officers to have options to detention, electronic monitoring, tracker services, things like that. Sometimes kids don't need to go to detention. Sometimes absolutely they do. They absolutely need to be in detention for that 48 hours or whatever it is. And it costs the county, I believe, $300 and something a day. Is that?
$260.
$360 a day. The electronic monitoring tracker services, much less expensive, allows them the option to stay in their home, but with a little support. Sometimes the parents just need a little support in the home to keep them there. And if they're not violent, if they're not a risk to the community, then this would be beneficial to that type of kid. The second one, the youth or the school court, something that we have been working on for a couple of months trying to figure out. When I say we, it's Roger and I in the Community Justice Task Force Committee has been talking about for a couple of months with the school, with Beatrice Public Schools, trying to keep kids in the school and give them an alternative to getting involved with the juvenile justice system. A little like diversion, but a little different, more of a peer.
peer jury, how are the peers selected?
Sometimes they are kids who have been are consumers of services in the past. Maybe they've been on diversion. Maybe they've had problems in school, and they
make that selection.
They would make application.
And who makes the final decision?
That's all something that we have to figure out.
Okay.
We still don't have an answer. Yeah, we're really at the ground level of trying to figure out if this is something that will even work for our schools.
Christina's been looking at some other programs that are already in place. As far as, obviously, we want to have the school's involvement. And we've talked with Mr. Nareth as far as where we set it up even. Because the idea is to have it not be like a court.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And again, we're thinking outside the box here. And
you know, I like that.
It's a little scary because you don't know if it'll work or not. Mm-hmm. But and that's Christina's.
If you don't try, if you don't investigate, you're never going to find out.
The truancy issue is just gotten way out of hand, and it's not just Gates County; it's other districts as well. So the schools, I know Mr. Sexton and Jason Suter out at the school are also involved. So hopefully, we get her set up to where, and this grant will help get this thing off the ground and see if it'll work.
I know they've been talking about it, and their leadership students have been talking about it, and how I think everybody would like to see it work if they can, to have, you know, basically the peers mm-hmm. make decisions and not some fancy adult like the county attorney or...
Well, it is intriguing, though, that the kids may be more responsive to that than getting them hooked up into a system where...
That's what they found over time, is that the kids are far more likely to follow through with the consequences that other kids dole out mm-hmm. rather than the court.
If you look at the science, if you will, of detention facilities nationwide, we can't just keep locking everybody up because they start as a youth criminal. It'd be interesting to see if there's a different way to... approach it. Mm-hmm.
Lancaster County has a program for a truancy court that we're kind of looking at modeling after, but they also have a program called Project Success, and we're trying to see if we can figure out how to put those two together to make it best work for our kids.
Good. So. Good. I like it.
Right now, I should go back a little bit. Our student staff advocate program that works with the truancy, we can serve up to 75 kids with that amount of money. For our, right now we have 38 in the high school that are matched and 25 in the middle school that are matched. At the semester, we could have some more referrals, but if we don't, I'll open it up to the rural schools, and they don't have nearly as many kids that are referred to the county attorney because of truancy, but we do have some, so we'll work with those. So, and then WRAP, I'm sorry, the third option on there is a wellness recovery action plan. This is designed to meet the mental health needs of our community in our juvenile justice plan that was completed earlier this summer. There's a facilitator that is trained that would help people who have some mental health problems work towards a wellness plan when they're well, and what their triggers are, and to help them find the supports that they need when they're well. So when they're not well, they can manage and continue, and their children can be okay, and they can have the supports they need when they're not well.
Are you working with Blue Valley Behavior Health? Okay, good.
We are. Region 5 is the folks.
Region 5 Systems. Mm-hmm. I'm chairman of that board.
Mm-hmm. And we are, it is an evidence-based program, and so we're hoping to bring a facilitator from Lincoln to get that started and then train someone here in this community to do
good.
It. And then the fourth, last little bit of money we would use for training, for curriculum training. There's some Search Institute on training on perseverance. And Gus and I are still working on school resource officer training for the rural areas. And then the juvenile justice conference is in May. But we could send a few people too. Any questions?
You have a busy year.
We do.
Yes. That's all I'll say. Because it's great to have the extra funding. It's really great. But then that also...
Gives us more to do.
Gives you more to do, yes.
Actually, I found that when you build the program, they will come. we have, right now, we have 12 kids in juvenile diversion class. We have 18 starting in October 21st class, and I'm starting on our January class, filling that already. So we are busy in diversion. And then adults are about the same. We have about 75 adults right now as well.
Well, Christina, if you're creating all this, maybe we should quit developing programs and we won't have these problems.
Quit paying me, yes. Any questions at all?
Well, thank you for coming and explaining this to us.
Okay. Have a good day.
Thank you.
So we need to vote on this yet. So any more questions? Vote 6-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove agreement between Gage County and the Library Board of the City of Wymore for services to Gage County residents.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Bowen, second by Thiemann. And this is a little bit something like we did with the City of Beatrice. We approved that, and we didn't have this on the agenda the other time. So,
for their budget request.
So this is for their budget request that we county supply. So vote 6-0.
Myron, what was the amount, dollar amount?
$3,600.
Okay.
Discuss and approve or disapprove updated Gage County and Beatrice urban area maps with a revised system and boundary in areas under county's jurisdiction and having chairman sign. And as you remember, last meeting we kind of held this off, and Roger was going to get a hold of them and see exactly what that was all about. So
I talked to Mr. Mark Osborne, who's with the NDOR, and he basically explained it to me. I appreciate it. He kept it simple so that I could follow it. Every 10 years we have a census in this country, and somebody develops a plan after they get that census. It's all for the federal boys and girls to decide how they're going to plan. For us, it really doesn't impact unless there would be a county road within the jurisdiction of a city, which we have. But it doesn't affect funding or characterization or anything else. The reason, but that's why we get the letter, and you get a chance to mark up the map if you want to. So his recommendation was that basically, from our standpoint, nothing has changed. And it will not affect our funding or how we get our money for our roads and stuff.
But if we don't sign it, then it could affect us adversely.
Yeah, you know, well, you'll get a second notice.
We'll keep getting notices. Okay.
It's just nice to know for the record that that's what it is.
Yeah, and as you recall, last time Galen and Don both looked at this and didn't have any questions either, other than the fact of we really wondered what it was about and why we were going to do it. So I'll entertain a motion to approve then.
Move to approve.
Second,
this is approving the updated Gage County and Beatrice urban area maps and having the chairman sign those. So vote 6-0.
Thank you, Roger, for
not a problem. Doing that. Approve or disapprove amendment to county health insurance plan.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And motion by Bowen, second by Lytle. This one here, too, we had questions last time. This was basically brought about because of that one claim we had. And Monday we did have on the phone with Amber. We had probably a 10-minute visit with her. And we got – John was here then, too. And a lot of the questions were about how is that – or if we did not have them on our plan, if we did not have this option available on our plan – would that baby or how would that baby be covered if this insurance plan didn't cover it? And Don, you help me out, but it was the possibility that they'd be on Medicare. Could be.
Medicaid.
Could be. Maybe not. But then,
Well, there is the possibility that if the dependent, like our employee's dependent, became expectant, it would cover her visits until the child is born. Immediately when the child is born, then they would have to be under another insurance. If they didn't qualify for Medicaid, it could revert back to actually the parent of the dependent could be liable for the charges. So in some cases, you know, we know the prenatal or the neonatal, things like that could be catastrophic, but that's...
Amber basically explained that the baby would still get the care. A lot of times, if there is no Medicaid...
It's Medicaid.
Okay, if they weren't eligible for that because they are dependent of the parents, that would put them in another bracket where they wouldn't be eligible. The hospitals... quite often, they have a, I don't know, fund or lines financials, or whatever, that financial assistance that the hospitals would pick up a great part of that. It's not that the baby, I know one of John's questions was, would that baby be covered? Some way or another, the baby would get the health care. It's just then a matter of which avenue the funding or the write-off or whatever would go through.
Yeah, you're never going to turn down the health care for the child or the dependent.
Right.
It's just a matter of how it's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's basically what we're dealing with.
And Amber also commented, though, that this, not the odds, but the likelihood of this happening are really, really small ever. This is just one of those things, again, that just, whatever reason, happened. The likelihood of this happening are really, really small. If this one wouldn't have been born premature and required all the care, too, the cost would have never been where it was at.
If the baby's not covered, then whoever, and if they're not on welfare, then whoever has it is probably going to be filing bankruptcy because of huge expenses.
Mm-hmm. In this situation, you don't know what would have happened, but there could have been a possibility in this situation.
But they could also, knowing that they're pregnant, could take out an insurance policy on themselves, which would probably...
No, you cannot insure the child till after the child is born. There is no insurance.
That's right. Nothing kicks in till the child's born.
Mm-hmm. Based on Amber's, you cannot insure the child before it's born.
So currently we still have this amendment or whatever on our policy.
It is part of our plan now to cover the infant for 30 days. This amendment would remove that coverage.
Yes. The amendment that we have here would remove that coverage.
For subsequent cases, not this one.
Not this one, no.
Right.
This one has happened, it's passed.
That was our previous plan,
right.
Yeah.
So for what we would be approving is an amendment to remove that from our county health insurance plan.
We're approving an amendment for the future.
So, and does everybody understand that then? Basically, we would be removing coverage of an dependent's baby for 30 days. That coverage.
Did they say a difference in cost? If this will never happen, does it change the price of the policy?
Just your claims, if you have claims, it could up us down the road. Now, it's not going to affect this. This one is not going to affect insurance right now.
Because
it could down next year in our reinsurance, but it's already done. There's nothing we can do about that one.
Our rates for this coming year and our insurance year starts September 1st. Our rates we approved it and they were set there in August. Because of this claim, though, we visited with Amber too about this claim. She does not know, because of the dollar amount, will it affect our rates a year from now? That she said she's not sure. She didn't know
that it would be a lot if it did, but because it's
this
done,
is so
it's
unusual. I mean, for anybody to have answers is really not an easy thing.
This claim does have the possibility of having some effect on our rates next year, which is unknown. We don't know that until the insurance or carrier refigure and come back with next year our rate, we won't know that if this had an effect or much of an effect or not. We won't know that. So, but just so everybody understands what our amendment is, then we are approving to remove that coverage for a baby for the first 30 days. Any more questions? And the motion is to approve that amendment, so we'll send that amendment on. So, vote 6-0. Discuss and approve or disapprove.
Byron, I'd like to be excused. I don't go to a funeral, attend a funeral, so I'll head out right now then.
Okay.
Galen will probably come back with a recommendation on that.
Okay.
Cool. Okay.
I don't go to the same funeral. Just give you a note on that construction deal. We're still back.
Okay.
As soon as I get a firm one, I'll shoot it to you.
Where's Terry going?
Yep. It sounds good.
He's forgiven then.
Is that for this time?
But not again. Unless it's his.
Yes, just one quick other reminder, too. The 22nd, the 22nd, out at the Holiday Inn, we are having, from 6 to 8 o'clock, we are having a wind farm informational, mainly public input meeting. Not saying we're going to need security out there.
What time was that again, Larry?
From 6 to 8 o'clock at the Holiday Inn Conference
room. I guess just more of a, we'd appreciate somebody out there if it works. Not, like I said, not saying we would. I just know that it is quite a discussed topic or whatever. And I'm not expecting any problems. Most people, they've all been good. At the same time, sometimes if one of you are standing there, they...
But I think, frankly, there have been some instances in the past up north in some communities where there have been some heated exchanges.
Right.
We haven't seen any of that in the stuff that we've been going. Everyone's been very civil. But there's obviously emotions on either side. People feel very strongly.
Yeah.
And there's no decisions that night. It's just basically if anyone else has anything to say, I think, which is why we decided to cap it at 2 hours, because we've been inundated with information and there's no decision making, but it's just giving people an opportunity to say for the fourth or fifth or sixth time what they want to say. But
is there going to be more of those here?
No, not engaged. Not unless we see a need or desire to have more, because then after that, the process after that is our zoning board will advertise for a public hearing meeting, and they'll have that, and then they will be able to forward their recommendations onto us, and our board will also have a public hearing.
So there will kind of be an opportunity.
Oh, there will be. Okay, I was wrong. Yeah.
Well, the public hearing process.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. So there'll be the one for those, and then there'll be one for us, and then
there'll actually be.
Have we
two more?
Have we formally invited the city or anything to that?
I've had some discussions with them Monday.
Okay, I was going to say I talked to the city a couple times last week, just after getting emails, and I told them they weren't aware of it at that time yet.
Yeah. I visited with Greg, and I also visited with Tobias, and they fully intend to come to this meeting because, there's some conversations going on there, too, that we weren't aware of at all. So,
well, and that's the thing, too, is all these municipalities out there, whether it be a village or a city that have their own zoning jurisdiction, they need to address these on their own because we don't have... It's a mile and a half or 2 miles.
The city of Beatrice has 2 miles zoning jurisdiction, but part of their conversation is if they ever would, their comment was the city of Lincoln has some. What if they ever would?
That's their own thought.
And,
with their renewables.
Would they don't know if it'd come within the 2 miles or not.
And that's what complicates the whole wind farm issue, is that because of our population density, there may be only a few pockets where this is even viable, and can you get the numbers there outside of setbacks from a non-participating landowner, roads, building, existing structures?
Yeah.
You know, we've seen those maps, so you look at that, and realistically, are we going to see huge wind farms? I just find it hard with everybody who has zoning out there and all the different things taking place. Our density is such, it's just going to be difficult. Now, you might see the individual... single wind turbines that people want to, and I think we should be open to those because that's probably pretty viable.
And just a little bit more talk about that. Last week at the zoning meeting, then they did have some discussion, quite a bit of, I guess, discussion on the proposals, and our proposals are up on our website.
Yes, they are on the website.
They are on the website.
And the city did get a copy of the proposal.
Right, and after the zoning meeting, they had, and one of their main ones was some of the wording in there as far as the non-participating property owner or dwelling or whatever. So that has a little bit of change of wording more to clarify that. That's what the zoning board would kind of want. So that's in there. We will have some handouts of those next week at the meeting.
We will.
Some copies,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have them.
So that we're not just sitting there and people aren't aware of it. But they are all up on our website, all
right,
the proposals.
Right now they're on the home page, just that way people don't have to search for where they're at. Mm-hmm. So,
and those are the proposed changes?
Actual, then we'll move them.
And they are not going to mirror Lancaster counties. There's been some...
That's what everyone's afraid of. Everyone
thinks we're going to do... And I appreciate the effort that Lancaster County made to involve us in the process, but... And the officials through the health department, they never thought we were going to do exactly, but there was this thing that since there's this urban legend that, well, we're just going to do whatever they do.
And since, I don't think since you guys were there, that was all informational for us, which is great. If they're going through that, we may as well take advantage of whatever information we can get
they
from
were wonderful
the neighboring county.
And wonderful resources. It was really, they were well done.
Really thank them a lot, yeah. and everything.
We just want to make sure that we make all the information, every appointment, every time we're going to meet, available to the public so that they understand exactly what's going on and when we'll be making decisions and what they are and what it might cost them individually. I'm getting sarcastic now. But
you also need to realize, too, that these are proposed changes, okay? The zoning board could make adjustments to these when they forward them to us, and then we as a county board still could make changes.
Change it back.
We could change whatever. I'm not saying...
We'll have public notice of those meetings so people have an opportunity to participate.
Yes.
Kind of like two houses of Congress. It'll go there to get all mucked up, and then you don't know what you're going to come with.
Nothing.
Is that a good analogy? I don't know.
That's a good analogy. Or bad?
That wasn't bad, but accurate.
Okay, next up on the agenda, discuss and approve or disapprove appointing Engage board member to replace Matt Bauman. Did visit with Matt. Well, last meeting we visited, too, a little bit, and did visit with Matt this week and Gary, too, about... possibility of staying on and how that would work.
I've spoken with a couple Engage board members too, and you know, they're well, we really want consistency. And I said, I get that, but I said, you move the meeting up, and it's hard. And I look at the people that work different places or doing different things, and everybody's busy. I get that, and so it's just hard to always be there. But I enjoy that. I'll make the meetings that I can, but if I can't make them, I think it's hard to have one person to always be at every meeting. I think look at the diversity of the board that we have here. Everybody's got stuff going on, and job situations sometimes change, and that's been my scenario. But
also, if Matt knows he's not going to be there, he's going to try to make sure to get hold of Gary or somebody else too, so that we have. But Gary, you go ahead and from your perspective.
I've been thinking about this quite a bit, and like I told you the other day, I'll make a concerted effort to try and be there. Sometimes we'll have two people there, but maybe when Matt's not, but that's good, because just like that, the continuity part of it is that if the alternate's there, at least part of the time also. But the other thought I have is just that I'm going to have the same problem Matt has. I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be a time where both of us aren't going to be able to be there. I'm wondering if we shouldn't have a second alternate that, maybe between the three of us, we're able to say, hey, so-and-so, him and I both can't be there. You're going to, or maybe we try and have two of the three there. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there that maybe we should have another alternate, because that time is going to come. 3:30 is just, it is a tough time.
Well, you have some times with your business where you just can't get away, and no man has with his, and he just cannot get away either. So, but I think I told them both, although there's harvest and planting, I can't either. But there's times where I could too, maybe, or I don't.
I went to that one meeting for you, and I enjoyed that. If you guys can't go to it, it seems like I can usually sneak away. But I did enjoy that. If you guys can't get to it, feel free to give me a shout. I'd be more than happy to go.
I'd be willing to do that also.
They've spoken about the meetings, and I think these two gentlemen could probably speak to trying to make sure they're efficient. So they try to keep them about an hour unless there's something that's brewing out there that they need to discuss a little bit more. But, the biggest thing, because I remember and I saw it, I sat where Gus was and I watched the erosion of the trust between the prior economic development group and the board that was sitting here at the time over lack of information. That's my biggest concern, is that people don't feel like there's things being hidden from them. That's the biggest. We've got to make sure, whether or not I make a meeting or not isn't the issue, but I certainly don't want someone on that side of the table over here to say, well, we don't know anything that's going on. We have to, and I think Glennis does a good job of doing that. I think Andrea Schaefer's shared information, so
I didn't know if that would be that was what I thought going to that meeting that one time I went. I didn't know if that would be why are you sitting here? They were open. It was easy. It was just like I'd been there. It seemed like it moved very smoothly. I think the board's done a really good job there. Andrea, when I've asked her about stuff outside of that, she's always let me know exactly what's going on.
I just didn't want to be held accountable. Matt, you haven't been for four meetings. What's going on? And I just full disclosure.
You go to the secret meetings. You just don't. You
just the secret ones are the only ones I'm going to.
Where do they have those?
I never get in.
Well, I do know there are several times, too, when I attended that, like, the mayor, you know, would always show up or whenever it works for him. I think now let's have a discussion again in January. Let's have Matt still as our representative and Gary as our alternate. And between you two, when you know that somebody can't be there, then start contacting people and we'll have somebody there. Because I really would like somebody at the meetings and stuff. And I think that's something that's doable for us right now. We also will have 3-4 months here to see if this works at all. And then when our new committee appointments in January or February, then let's have the discussion again and see if, hey, this isn't working. Let's see what we can do. So,
yeah, everybody willing to participate. At my Engage meetings Monday, I had board members around the southeast Nebraska area, including Lancaster County, who were really complimentary about Gage County and how well this board is working together, discussing things and not getting angry, having disagreements, but that's okay. Go ahead and discuss it. And I had compliments from other counties who said basically they wish they could have the same kind of togetherness and caring about each other.
But that was your NIRMA meeting Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You said Engage, so yeah. But your normal meeting. Well, thank you.
No, this week it was Engage.
No, Monday you had.
Monday I had Engage.
No. No, Monday you had your NIRMA.
No, Monday I had Engage. Engage. Yeah.
The
Engage Services and Engage Systems.
Region 5.
Oh, Region 5. Why am I making it Engage? Okay, yeah. Help me, Doug.
Region
please.
5. Yeah. Well, I knew it was an Engage, but I didn't know what else it was.
NIRMA I'd had the week before, so.
Yeah, region 5.
Thank you very much. Okay. I was trying to do Matt's job for him.
Incidentally, Lord, you don't even know where you're going.
That's exactly right.
So we'll leave it that way for now. But, yeah, I see we have Galen back. And before we go next there, Galen, would you like to be at the mic and see where we come in with our.
Basically, we're just going to say we're taking no action on this.
We're taking no action on that. Mm-hmm. No action was taken on that. Okay. We're going to continue as we are.
As was.
Okay, on the bids, I did call and talk with Martinelli and read him all the figures. And first thing I asked him is, who is JJK? And they're a new company that's started up in Lincoln. Mark's familiar with them. He said that originally he worked with CCI Construction and got away from there. He used to build bridges, I think Mark told me. And he started building box culverts and culverts like this. And I read the difference down between them. And I said, why is there such a big difference between the finished product? And he said, well, it's a new company. He says they're bidding it tight, trying to keep his crews going and get their basically their name built up. So that's what Mark told me. So with that being done, Mark suggested that we do accept the bid from JJ&K, and if we go with the 60-inch by 76-foot, that would be for $30,134.92. And one thing Mark did say, that when we do this, to make sure that I run it back through Federal Highway, which is Paul Keeper, the one that I've been working with, and he said for some reason he would have a change of heart and didn't want to use a 60-inch and said, well, the only way I'll pay for it is if you use a 30-inch. He said, if that does happen, go ahead and get it approved, that if they refuse a 60-inch, to go ahead and accept the bid also for the 30-inch for that $20,140.11, just in case the feds would refuse accepting the larger culvert. And I've had talked with Paul 2 or 3 times, and he told me, we definitely accept it, but we wouldn't pay for the difference in price. But Mark said, make sure you get that confirmed. Then the other thing Mark said is also ask the board to authorize the chairman to sign the contract as soon as it comes back, so we don't have to wait another 2 weeks for a board meeting to sign the contract that'll come back for this company on there.
I'd make a motion to approve.
I got one question. What you're wanting? What we need to approve? What we need to approve? The chairman to sign.
That was a waterfall.
Galen, what we need to
is that funded?
What needs to be approved as far as Myron signing is, if they come back and say it's got to be the 30, then he can go ahead and sign off on whether it's the 30 or the 60, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, Matt. Go ahead.
I would make a motion to approve the recommendations of the highway superintendent as related to the DeWitt Blacktop project involving the culverts and award the bid to JK Construction.
JJK.
I'll second that. With one question quick. Why the difference in the footage, lineal footage?
In the pipe?
Mm-hmm.
Because on your 60-inch, it don't take quite as long a pipe because you're up higher than a 30-inch pipe. You know, for your overall length, these will both have concrete head walls on them, 30-inch or the 60-inch. But normally, when you have a bigger diameter pipe, you'll be able to shorten up your length.
Appears to me that we're in the right time, right place again on this one.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a motion by Bauman and a second by Thiemann. But then I think on that motion, we need to make sure that which one we end up going with is after Galen visits with FEMA and gets the okay from them.
Yes.
To go ahead, we'd like to do the 60-inch one.
Yes.
To make sure they give the okay for that the county picks up the difference there in that funding.
Yes.
But that they are okay with doing that, because if they don't okay that and then we end up with the whole thing, we want to go with the other one.
Yep. Yep.
Well, so we're basically approving both. The 60 and the 30.
We're approving the 60.
Based on what FEMA will.
Based on Galen's conversation with FEMA, and to get that, make sure that's okay with FEMA to do it that way.
Okay. I do have a question now.
Yeah, go ahead.
Galen, thinking of this piece of area here, if this 30 is undersized, and Minnelli's recommended that we go to the 60, and we would happen to go ahead and end up going to a 30 because we're told that they're not going to fund it if we don't mm-hmm. go at the 30. In the future, what do you see as far as damages and an issue if we would stay to a 30 as opposed to going to the 60? Because my thought is that where we do have a pretty fair bid here, looking into the future, if this is going to create more issues in the future, if we have to go to the 30, maybe we'd be better off to go ahead and fund it ourselves and pay for the $30,000 and put the 60-inch tube in if that's needed to be there.
Not going to cost us later.
Right, exactly. It's just throwing it out there. I mean,
yeah. Well, in my opinion, since we're not downsizing now, if we were saying putting in a 24-inch instead of a 30, then I could see problems. That 30 inch has been in there, I can't tell you how many years, and had performed, but evidently somewhere inside that culvert it has collapsed.
Okay.
And that would cut down the flow of the water going through the 30. So we're not downsizing anything. So if they would refuse the 60 inch and we had to go with the 30, there would be no recourse that I could see the landowner could come back on the county, because we're not downsizing. We're staying the same.
So the history is that going back, it did perform and get the water evacuated from that area until it collapsed. Because a little bit of discussion I'd have with the landowner is that this has been a problem, a recurring problem for 15 years.
And this culvert always did pond, but it say in the recent floods that I've been around, it may have ponded, say, and I'm using this for an example, for 2 days. Okay, when we had this big flood, it was ponded for probably almost 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Okay, then when it went down, then we had that another rise of water, come back some more water in there. So the overall flood time that his field was underneath water was a lot greater. And another thing that added into this, all the corn stalks come up and washed over the top of this culvert, and that also throttled this volume down. Because once the water did go down, you couldn't even see the end of the culvert. It was all corn stalks.
Right.
So a couple different things did play into this role.
Okay. Well, then.
So how much of this, and the to illustrate the point of when we turn this in, if JJK had not bid, we would have turned in
a 30-inch culvert for around $35,000, roughly. If we can show them that there's an opportunity to get a 60-inch culvert for less than the cost of a 30-inch, mm-hmm. it would be interesting for, you know, normal deduction would be, in this particular case, we're still getting a bigger culvert cheaper.
Yes.
I mean, can we share the entire information, say, this is who we've chosen, we're lobbying for the 60 because...
Approve the $35,000 one, turn it in, and then just put the...
But that's the thought. I think what you know.
No, I agree.
To say, why wouldn't you do that? Because
yes.
if these folks hadn't showed up in a new business and happened to just hit the time right, you'd have spent more money for a smaller tube. Here, this no longer. If it's worked for how many years with relatively no problems, this ought to just.
That would be common sense, but I don't know if they can do that. It'd be just like the deadline earlier.
Yeah.
2 days passed, deadline says no.
Deadline's deadline.
Say no.
Yeah.
Right.
You see, I had conversations, and Marcus had conversations with Paul, and saying, you know, we've had complaint from the landowner, and we'd like to upsize this. And Paul, supposedly, he said he checked into it with Federal Highway, and they said, the only thing we can do is put it back to the existing condition. And he said, I'll pay 100% of that. If you want to go to a bigger tube, and we came up with the 60 inch as a medium culvert to put in there, because you could have went a lot bigger, but we went in there to try to at least double the capacity of that culvert to get rid of the water, to hopefully take care of the complaint, you know, that he had whenever the river comes out of the banks. So, and his statement to me several times is, well, Federal Highway won't pay for the bigger. They will pay for the 30. The county would be responsible for the bigger price and the bigger pipe. But we'll pay for the 30-inch pipe. So when I do call Paul, and I'll email him a copy of the bid spec from JJK, and it'll show the figures just like that down through there. And then I'll talk to him, and I'll say, we are going to use the 60-inch as long as we're still on board, that you'll pay. I understand you'll pay for the 30-inch, but you won't pay for the, you know, the 60-inch. And I'll say, is that changed, or will you pay for the 60-inch when I talk to him?
Right.
So, but I've been told that they won't pay for the larger culvert several times. So.
Yeah. Which, and if we end up having to pay the $10,000 difference, then I, no, you know, big deal. I mean, I think we got to go that route. But if they look at that and say, oh, $30,000, you know, that is a good deal. That's going to alleviate an issue off of them in the future. I mean, there's a possibility this could come back on them again in the future. And if they recognize that and they're willing to do it, I think that'd be great. But, you know, I think on our part, we gotta go with the 60 if we can.
You just take the extra money out of Don's new petty cash fund.
Okay, it is miscellaneous checking account for insurance.
She's changing the name, aren't you?
Yeah. That's what
miscellaneous checking account would be a lot better.
Actually, that's what the auditors call it, so that's what I have. You have to approve that amount for my budget.
I was going to have to buy a bigger purse, carry all that cash.
Well, I'm advocating for our new election machine, so we'll worry about the this petty cash.
Well, now we know why the petty cash is.
Yeah.
The election machine sinking fund, is that what this is now called?
Yeah, shh, we don't talk about that.
Good. And then part of this also is that as soon as this comes back, that you're okaying that I go ahead and sign this, however you come up with it.
Yeah, because as soon as I get the okay from the state, I'll let Mark know, and then he'll send the contract next day, have it signed, and kick it back to us so we can get rolling.
So they can get on it. Okay, any more questions? Did I mention who approved? Bauman made the motion, Lytle seconded that motion.
No, I have Tiemann.
Tiemann, yes, Tiemann did. Okay. Vote.
Five
zero. Jorgen should be off. 5-0.
Thanks, Galen.
Yeah, thank you. I gotta find my. Here we are.
Genius. Okay.
Yes. We beat you up on anything you want. Are you gonna let her get away with wanting a new election machine?
Depends what it is.
It's got four wheels on it.
I got three unofficial codes, I hope.
I think that's a specialized service.
Yeah, I think so.
I think there's only one company in the state now anymore for election stuff.
Next up, we have a discussion with Lure Area Agency on Aging. We put this on there, so in case somebody was here, we've asked them to be here, but we still have to contact them, and we're going back and forth. They have a grant they would like us to. They requested more money than we approved for them,
We're trying to find out why, so we're trying to visit with them, and we just haven't connected between us
well,
and them.
Well, they have some issues going as far as leadership's concerned now. Jan Price, as of yesterday, has become the interim director. So I went out and I visited with her on something else, and so she is there now, and so we have somebody who has some knowledge.
Okay.
That.
Thank you. So we'll in the next week or two here, we'll be contacting them because they...
Yeah.
And there was something about a grant letter, too, though, or something, a letter of support or something. We'll try and get a hold of them and see what we need to do as far as that goes, too, also, because there might have been a timeline on that or
not. Well, yeah, we'll probably need to submit something. I'm not quite sure what. This is the first time we've ever been requested to do this letter.
There was a timeline on that. It had to be in by sometime in September.
And you sent us there's a copy of an old interlocal agreement that was signed by Dave Anderson, I think back in 1998. Did I read that correct?
There's some bylaws and also just the original agreement when they were formed. Yes.
Yeah. And so some, and I didn't realize a lot of that is outlined through legislation of how state legislation of how they function and how we function in concert with them.
Right.
And so I think a lot of that was just we've kind of been doing things as usual, and then when we didn't give somebody what they wanted, then they kind of barked back. And so
well, in the files, that has happened in the past because they budgeted a request for a certain amount and wasn't given. I think it was 2003 I saw a letter. They didn't receive that amount, so this wasn't a unique situation, apparently. So,
I think that this board very appropriately looks at expenditures, and when there's an outside agency at times that thinks that things will be continue to go status quo at a ask and they shall receive, when we don't agree with that, then that's not always received well, but our responsibility is a little bit different.
And they did ask to appear at the meeting, so it wasn't that we requested them to come that we wanted to discuss it. It was at their request.
They originally asked.
Whoever requested it might not even be there now.
That could
and
be true.
So,
yeah.
You know, but again, Jan Price, who's a former county board member, she worked for the Department of Aging for a number of years and really knows what's going on. So they're restructuring their board. I've written at least one letter recommending one board member, and so.
So, Danny, my question would be, because of the vital service that they provide, with the turmoil that's taking place or restructuring, are services still being provided to the people that need them?
Yes, it's my understanding they are.
So there's no interruption of services. This is all behind-the-curtain stuff that people are still getting taken care of.
Right.
Okay.
Good.
And I did get a response back from the auditor, and I got one this morning from NIRMA about the liability. We do have some liability if there would be anything.
Right. And they are included in NIRMA.
Everything?
No, I know.
We do with everything, yeah.
They are included in our NIRMA contract.
But
so.
I don't know if you can pull up that email or something. There's something about the letter of support for the grant for another vehicle
van.
Or transportation or something. So the van, another van or something.
How many vans do they have?
Five or six?
I don't know.
There was way. I remember when I was at the city, there were way more. I thought there was like two, and there were a lot.
Several.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Should we invite them to come to our next meeting? And
we did hear, but it just isn't working out there. We'll plan on that. We'll between now and the next meeting, we will get the correspondence together, and we will have. Hopefully somebody will be able to come and stuff. So,
and we may need to decipher that interlocal agreement too. If you haven't had a chance to, I know Don's always sending stuff out. So,
whether you read or not, that's up to you.
But Denny's computer's been down. So,
well, Denny's got to catch up. He's got a lot of emails there to read.
I believe that.
Yeah.
He just keeps send.
I do. As I get it, I try to fire it out, or I forget it.
Send emails.
Yeah. Also, you have another agreement that you've got coming due at the end of the, and that's on here too, I guess, next.
Did you email that out?
Oh, no. I didn't do that one. I didn't want to confuse you.
She printed it, though.
One spam at a time.
I printed it.
I got you in my spam filter.
That's right. Okay. You can't say I didn't give it to you.
Don.
Well, you're looking for that. Well, you have to help with the next one. We'll move on here a little bit. Discussion on lease agreement between City of Beatrice and Gage County on space for a probation office. Basically, that was up for renewal.
Well, that was an agreement that was up for renewal, and then you decided to extend it for 1 year.
A year ago.
Made a decision, so now it's due again. Yes.
For the probation office down there. And more than anything, I guess, just so everybody's aware of it, and if we need to have any changes that we'd like to look at. I did visit with Dave a little bit this morning outside, and he has a few things maybe that a few more tile in the men's restrooms, a couple other things he'd like to visit with him about, but not as far as his thought was that this agreement and that space we have pretty much needed and working good. And then I'll also say this, you know, in this last year, the legislature, they also basically put some more things on probation again. So it's unknown, or we haven't, you know, heard or whatever, but there's a good possibility of the way the jail population and everything's going that there may be more responsibility put on the probation system here in the state of Nebraska. So
yeah.
That's not probably not going to get less, that need, at least it don't seem like it. So I know at times they've talked about their space down there, maybe, but we're getting quite an area of space down there. And Dave's comment was, he says, I can't remember his name, he said the name of the person who he works with down there for that. And Dave and him have a really good working relationship as far as that goes. So yeah. Dave was very supportive of it.
Right. Yeah, he is supportive. And
Pithod?
Mike
Mark,
Pithod.
Mark
Pithod, not Mike. Mark Pithod, yes. That's who he works with and everything, because Dave has a real good working relationship with him, he said. So,
does that fall under you, Gus?
Well, what will happen is, what I'm going to talk about is, probation has to do some more things on there, but it's going to...
Gus,
up here.
What little I know about it, it affects the courts as well, and a lot of it does with DUIs for us, that instead of going to Department of Corrections, they'll go to county jails, which down here our DUIs are relatively high. So that will have an impact on us to some degree. But as far as what probation is getting all involved with, we really haven't had a lot of conversation with them on it, but I know there's going to be some impact for them on how they handle it. Yep.
But this is as much as anything, I guess, we'll visit with the city that, you know, we'd like to extend it, I guess, and then see what their conversation is coming back. And if anybody has any thoughts on anything that they would like included in there or changed, then we need to have that.
I think we discussion. I remember extending this last year, I think, I think it was the last thing, one of the last things we did before Mayor Schuster left office. And there was some discussion about would we need more square footage. And so we didn't want to get locked into something long-term because of what was coming down from the state, because do we need to look off-site with the amount of money that we're paying? Was it something that we needed to get into a capital expenditure and buy something with the money that we're expending? And I just think we didn't want to get locked in. But it is a pretty good situation. It's a pretty good deal. They want some, I think at that time, Sarah Rini had wanted some more cameras. There's some safety issues there. They do drug testing there, but I just don't know. I think that's more of a personnel standpoint. They need more people.
Mm-hmm.
What's a camera going to do to stop someone from doing something?
Who does the funding come from directly for probation?
I guess several counties fund this, but the dollars all flow through our county for this.
Okay, that's it.
It's I know Nemaha County.
We're the largest.
Yeah, Nemaha, Johnson, Jefferson, maybe.
We need to stop writing so many tickets is what I'm hearing.
11 or
12 now. They've extended their
area. I'm thinking there were 12.
You can't blame the people, guys.
There's 11 or 12 counties, so the others, they get, I mean, part of that budget is allocated out based on somewhat on numbers.
Pay the whole thing.
So it's allocated out, but all of the dollars in and out flow through our budget, basically.
I think our portion was around 11,000 or so.
Matt, were you saying there's going to be some extra space out at the fairgrounds? In the extension office? Was there going to be some open office space there? Is that what you told me?
No, why?
Oh.
You turned the position over to the state, remember?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, that might
not enough space. The probation, if you've ever been down there, it's amazing. I mean, it's so. But and it's not just Gage County's probation. It's an area's probation, but it's all here. So.
So, remind me, did that have a role? Rolling to it, or was it just?
I think it was just an extension, and then because the city had to approve it as well. Because I think
the first one was a 3-year agreement, and then we extended it for 1 year.
It's an extension, and it
this ends this end of September. Is that right?
Yes.
So we'll
probably
September
30th.
We'll visit with the city and see what their thoughts are.
The last day is it October?
I think on that second agreement, though, I think it said it ended.
So there's a possibility that we might be functioning down there for a month without a contract.
It won't be the first time.
Yeah, which isn't a big deal.
September 30th, 2015.
What day? November?
We commenced on the first day of October and shall therefore be a period of 1 year ending on 30th day of September 2015.
Right. That's what I have, too.
But more than anything, just to make everybody aware of this, so hopefully next meeting we can have something on the agenda as far as a contract. So, back to the Blue Rivers. Did you find something that needed
it? It just indicates that they want a letter of support now and want to know how we want to make their payments to them if they want to submit quarterly, and it's our amount that we're going to provide to them. But
there isn't anything about a timeline on that letter of support?
Not on this one. I'm going to go back and look at her budget request because I think there might be something. I'm not finding a date here at all.
Okay.
Unless I'm rolled past.
Discussion on Hickory Road Project then. And we had some discussion Monday at the committee meeting. Hopefully everybody got this spreadsheet or whatever passed out. We do have signed contracts back for everybody. What you see on there, Coke Nitrogen, we never sent them anything. But otherwise, the others are all back. We have the one with the J.R. Marshall one down there.
Myron, I just a question. Are these for public consumption at this point?
I don't know.
There's still
at some point they will be, but...
Right, okay. I'll just
make sure no one submits this to the record.
No, I'm not. Okay. I'm not going to talk dollar amounts. Monday. Scott wrote an article on it. Then we did that. We have them all backed except we have one yet that has requested a higher amount than what we had proposed. And our proposal was for 100% of the 2015 valuation for their classification of land for their property. And we have them all back, except we have, and we're going to go into closed session later here and have the discussion on that one individual that came back higher. The others have all come back at our proposal. We have one yet that we have a signature issue with that we will be working that out with Roger. Did visit with Jeff Wagner from Manali's office on Monday and visit with him where we're at on this, what we've done. Also, we do have two fence issues yet, two properties that have fences that we will also be negotiating with yet. But Jeff said, based on where we are at with these easements and then the decision we make on the one, I said, what's our timeline? Because Terry had asked about, could they start dirt work this fall? But I asked Jeff then, what's our timeline? And him and I visited back and forth, and basically, I mean, had a conversation with Galen. But Jeff plans on being down here on the 30th, and Jeff said at the 30th we can have on our agenda to put this out for bids for Hickory Road Project and to have the bids back in by October 28th. Now, this is also with the understanding that between now and the 30th something could change, so that may not may back up. But the tentative timeline is that September 30th at our meeting, we will approve to put out for bids for Hickory Road Project. And Jeff will come down and explain the details or whatever and what he's proposing. He still would like to have it bid as one project, but he would like separate bids in there for west of the bridge and east of the bridge so that we, as a board, for various reasons, have an understanding of what each of those projects would cost or whatever. But he will explain a little bit more of the timeline. He says we want to leave a long timeline in there for them to complete the work. But he said unless something changes between now and the 30th and where our easements are at, he said basically our easements are all in and all signed, and we just have some negotiations yet on the one. That was Jeff's comment on Monday, that the 30th of September here we can have on our agenda to put out bids for the Hickory Road project.
Can those be awarded to separate people?
That's something we'll have to visit with him and everything on. I don't know that.
Probably cheaper if it's one, but it may keep him on the field still, too, if it's the potential of two.
He'll be down here and explain that, because I asked him, I says, are all the documents ready? Are all the drafts ready? He said, everything is done. We're ready to go to bid. That was his comment.
Byron? I'll say it because Terry's not here, but we need to have some communication with Norris Public Power. I don't know if Jay, has Jay Schultz gotten a hold of you?
No, that was one thing I was going to ask. I didn't know if Byron, when you talked with Jeff, if he had any discussion with about Norris.
We didn't visit about that at all. No, that would be very good, because that we'll need to know, too, before the 30th. Because, and there again, that's why I said, based on these next 2 weeks, unless something shows up, that will be on our, tentatively, it'll be on our agenda on the 30th to put out for bids the Hickory Road project, tentatively.
Jay contacted me, and I said, well, I know. They haven't. I don't know that they've seen the most recent plan. And I said, well, we've been modifying it to try and accommodate.
He's retired. Is he still working for Norris?
They've seen.
He said, I've seen some, but he says, what's the most recent one? Okay. And I said, you know what, I'll, when we get closer, but.
Galen, yeah.
I had talked with Mark approximately 2-3 weeks ago, and I told him that we're getting pretty close to as far as getting all the landowners signed up. And I said, is there anything else we need? And he says, well, we've never have got anything back from Norris yet. And so when I got back from vacation Monday, I had Becky had told me that they're within one or so getting signed up, and I asked Becky, I said, do we have anything signed back from Norris or anything? Well, she showed me an old previous one way back when that signed. And so I said, why don't you email Jeff and see if we need anything? And he was out of the office. And this morning it come in, and he sent me an email. I'd like to share it with you just for your own. I just got this morning. So, but they were, they had been sent some plans quite some time ago about some poles that needed moved. And so far, basically, nothing's been done. So,
we keep messing with these poles. We need to resurrect Nikola Tesla and do all this wireless, right? We just need to get away from poles.
That's why I asked if there had been any conversation between you and Jeff. So,
no, because I talked to him Monday after our meeting on the way home. I called him there probably before dinner and visited with Jeff. So after that, no, I hadn't had and him and I didn't have any conversation about Norris at that time. No, mm-mm. So I'm glad you guys thought of that and everything. So
should we give them notice then, or have they been given notice?
Well, I know in conversations prior with Koch, there really needs to be kind of a three-pronged approach, us, Norris, and Koch, because of the reliance on the electricity that's out there, and I think Koch's always been kind of a friend to us with regard to wanting that road done, so I think they've been willing to...
Would have been ideal while
work with Norris.
Shut down here, though.
Yeah. You know.
So Norris because I can't remember which one I visited with at Norris even, that they've been given the most recent, my understanding is the most recent copy of the proposal.
Yes.
And if it's changed, it's changed minimal, it hasn't changed a lot. So Norris is aware of that. But yes, also we need to work with Norris and make sure that this works into their schedule. And that's again why I said tentatively we'll put on our agenda on the 30th to award bids, because if something doesn't work out here, we won't have it on our agenda either. But tentatively, we plan on putting it on our agenda.
I just wonder if we need to give them a formal notice that the lines need to be moved, because like Jeff said, there is a timeline, and they can go to the last day if they would need to.
That's a good question for Jeff also, if he's going to be down here on the 30th, because we don't need to approve putting it out for bids, but that will be on our agenda. And Jeff will be down here on the 30th, and by then, hopefully he'll have a good answer for us by this email, I think. And Mark Minnelli's also said before, by state statute, you can give a utility company notification, and then they have certain timeline to move them. Now,
fair amount of time.
It's a fair amount of time, but I don't know if we need to do that yet or not, or what. We need more discussion with Norris before we get to that point.
Yeah,
Gary,
that would be next week. I mean, next meeting.
That'll be next meeting earliest. And stuff. So,
yeah.
We've sat down with Mr. Vitosh and Jerry Ants, and I think it was Jay Schultz back in the day.
Yeah,
I think they're willing to work with us quite a little bit. They've got a construction schedule, and I think they're probably on the tail end of their construction schedule, I would imagine. And they always wanted us, you know, since we ran into that deal where we scratched that line that was only a foot under the dirt or whatever. But you know, they've always, look, how do we coordinate these things? So I think they're willing to work with us, and I think we've really adjusted the plan where they shouldn't have to move too many poles.
Oh, right.
None of the, as far as I know, none of the big poles.
The big ones on the north side, no. South line will need to have some work done to it. Yeah.
Whatever convenience we can give them, so they're not trying to do this in the middle of winter, though, for spring construction season.
I think probably the biggest unknown to them has been the same as to us. We didn't know or had no idea when we could go to bid. I think that's been the biggest unknown to this. You know, we knew that when the easements got done, we could. But some of the issues we were having with conversations with the easements, too, as we were going forward, it just seemed like that process took longer than what we thought.
With plans finalized, though, I mean, even if it doesn't go to bid, we could at least tell them, give them a formal notice, and then they could at least start planning. I don't know if 2 weeks is a big deal to them or not, but sometimes it is, just so that they know that they're...
They
know it's time.
We will have conversation with them before the 30th. Jeff or somebody will, to make sure that they're aware of it, and also that it maybe works with them. And Matt had a good point too with Coke, because they're a vital part of this here. So, but we will have all that for the 30th. That's why it's tentative. We'll have it on the agenda.
Myron, I want to just give you kudos. I know that various board members have carried the water on this over the years, and I'd like to think I kind of resurrected it, but really, for the last year and a half, you've done the lion's share of this, working with Galen and Mark Manley's office, and you know, I really appreciate
it. Pat on the back, and it's fantastic, Myron.
I'll thank all the people for their easements. I'll say that, because I had one of them that I, when Becky called me last week, I said, "You're kidding," and stuff. So,
I think that does. That takes a lot of time to be persistent and call those people and coordinate that and stay on top of it and keep everybody's name straight. You know, and so you've been tenacious on that, and that's how we've gotten to this point. Yeah. So,
and even dollar amounts, because I thank Jeff somewhere along the line. We had to redo one or two of them because of, and I even messed up on one. I had it down as a permanent. It was a temporary, and then Jeff, because of a project out there with that culvert, he had to make some adjustments to the permanent, and those new figures are all in here or whatever. So the only thing I'll say is just between the permanent easements and the temporary easements, this doesn't include any fence or trees, but we're looking at just short of $100,000 that the county would be paying out. So... And even the one that has requested for more, that would still keep that amount for the easements under $100,000, between $99,000 and $100,000. That's what the figure will be for easement payments out there. So,
how much did the county pay for easements on that Plymouth Road? Do you remember?
Jefferson County, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nothing?
Nothing.
Yeah. While you're writing that down, you might write that one down too. I just couldn't remember for sure what the easements cost everybody over there. Thanks for reminding me, Myron.
And the one other thing, and I know we worked on this. Rex has worked on this. Everybody's worked on this a lot. This project. One of the individuals out there
when he came back from high school, or when he graduated from high school in 1975, he made this comment. And I told Galen this. I said he made the comment that his dad at that time, because he can remember the year he started farming with his dad, and his dad got a registered letter from the County Highway Department in 1975. They had to move their fence along Hickory Road because of some work that was going to be done on that road. Now, he don't remember if that was to pave it or whatever back then, but in 1975 already, they got a registered letter to move their fence so that the county was doing some work on that road. And I said, you're kidding me. That's 40 years ago.
Did they move it?
Yeah, they moved it because he said we got the registered letter. We moved the fence, and he said the fence ain't even there no more. That's how long. And he wasn't 100% sure if that was because of the county wanting to pave it or if they were making the road wider and grading it. He wasn't 100% sure. But that Hickory Road has been a county project for years and years and years.
And I believe 1972 was the year that I was told when at one of my coffees out at Hoyg. And one of them could remember back. It was 1972. They thought was the first year that they had discussions about paving that road.
They did. See,
think of the money spent on that road since then, too.
Just in the maintenance outside of the planning.
High traffic, high maintenance.
Well, Myron, again, thank you for your at least in the last year and a half, you have.
I went on the board the first time in 75 or
76. I've had a lot of people help. So hopefully we're getting closer to that
point.
And we will go into, I entertain a motion now to go into executive session. We do need some more discussion on the Hickory Road easements and stuff. And Galen, you would like you to stay.
Good move. We go into closed session.
36.
We have a motion. Do we have a second? A motion by Byer, second by Thiemann to go into executive session for the protection of the public interest or for protection of needless injury and reputation of individual. And this is for
you feeling okay,
some discussion on some of the Hickory Road easements.
The knee's working better.
Vote.
The knee's working better.
5-0.
Somebody's really wanting to get a hold of you. Move and come out of. Move and come out of executive session at 11:30.
Second.
Motion by Lytle, second by Thiemann. Vote 5-0. Anything else for the good of the order?
Yes. Hold on.
There's an issue with someone vandalizing my calendar with a coffee.
I'm an eyewitness. I can say who did it.
I don't even have a body camera. A
couple of things, or actually one thing, but I had a request. You know, we do the flu shots every year. I had received a... I guess a quote or whatever you want to call it, that from Claybaugh Pharmacy, they notified me again that they would like to do the flu shots. We've always in the past had Husker Health. They also sent me notification again about doing the flu shots. $25 for Claybaugh and $22 for Husker. Husker's always come up here. And so do you have comments, or do you want to continue? I mean, we haven't had any issues with Husker Health, but, you know, Claybaugh did contact us that they wanted to.
And they're less money?
Yes, they are.
No, nope. Claybaugh.
Claybaugh's
more.
Higher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Husker is.
No, that's what I meant. Husker was also less money.
So
I've had Nate give me a shot before, and it's very painless, though. There's very little stress on the employee.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Kind
well,
of shot.
So far, Husker Health, I mean, the girls do good, so whatever you want to do. I need to.
Money
because
again.
We gotta
I think
get it
we go
up.
With Husker Health.
Yeah.
I don't think
it's
a question.
I'm glad that Claybaugh's put a submittal in, though. That's good.
Yeah. Thank them for and everything, but we had $22 to tell
Maybe.
Tell them why.
Tell them if they wanted to go to 20, we'd be real glad to.
Should we send out a letter that does say, I mean, a lot of times you bid something, you get the bid results. Would it be good to send them out both a letter and say.
In the past, the hospital used to do it, and then they quit doing it. We struggled to find someone that would do it for us. And then just recently, Claybaugh started to do it. We had found Husker Health, and they came in and.
Should we send them a letter, though, that says, thank you for your bids? Husker Health was $22. Claybaugh was $25.
It's a bid, though, really.
No.
But it's a submittal, though.
Yeah, we didn't request. They just...
Should we? Actually,
I don't know. Maybe there's more places now because we didn't have a place before. It was just the hospital that quit doing it. And now,
should we bid it well?
How much?
By the time we get it out, bid and everything, you really need your flu shot here by November. I mean, yeah.
Flu shots cause autism.
They're bad for you.
I have one every year.
They give you the flu.
Okay.
So
it was
old age.
How many dollars do we spend on that every year?
There are some idiots. Yeah.
How many dollars are spent on that every year that we do it?
22 per employee. So we usually have around 50, 60 employees.
Well, you have all employees do it?
So if they want.
So you're talking about $1,200 roughly.
Matt, do you get a flu shot?
It's under guideline anyhow, but it's a special.
And that's a good thing.
I've always been afraid of shots.
No, that's fine.
Does the county pick that up, or is it our insurance?
We send it to our insurance.
We send it to our insurance, and they cover it, so we're self-insured, so the county's already paying for it.
Basically.
Yeah. The employee's not. That's my question.
Janet won't get one. She says she gets flu.
Well, then I'd send them back a letter and tell them what the proposal was and the reason why for cost we decided to go with the $22, but we would welcome another quote next year.
But it's supposed to help with asthma.
Should we put something in there that we're going to ask for formal quotes next year? Do we want to bid that out? I guess I like bidding stuff out, so.
I think next year, if we do it, we got to do it ahead of time.
This year, let's do Husker Health.
This year, we got it done. Informal, because your actual bid. It's
$200, so it's under our amount and stuff. But yeah, tell them what the bid was, and the board decided to go with the lower proposal of $22. But we welcome another quote from you next year, and now they know what the quote was for.
There's about a $15 per shot profit in that. So
yeah, well, next year if they want to come back at $20, great.
They may want to go $18, $20 because I'm guessing Nate probably put it in and had no idea what the other prices were.
Yeah.
Rick contacted me.
But next year it'd be great.
Famous golf membership.
Okay.
Anything else for the good of the order? Otherwise, we'll adjourn the meeting 11:34.
Sounds good.
Thank you, guys.